الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم المرسلين حبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون، فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله، ويستبشرون بالذين لم يلحقوا بهم من خلفهم ألا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون، يستبشرون بنعمة من الله وفضله وأن الله لا يضيع أجر المؤمنين، صدق الله العظيم. My respected brothers and elders, in tonight's Taraweeh, only through the help and the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have completed the third quarter of the fourth juz and para of the Holy Quran Majeed. And various topics have been discussed. Every topic was so interesting, so beautiful. But amongst the many topics that have been discussed, I would like to just touch on two topics very briefly. The first topic being the topic on Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, which means to command good, to enjoin with good, and forbid from evil. This topic was repeated three times in the first quarter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses this topic three times. In the first verse, Allah says, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةُ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهُونَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Allah says there should be a group amongst you that is delegated for this work alone, to enjoin with good and forbid from evil, and who call people towards khair, towards goodness. The next verse, a few verses after, Allah says, speaks about a certain group of the Ahlul Kitab, the Bani Israel, who were given the Torah. Allah says amongst them is a certain nation, a certain group, who are faithful and loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day, and they too enjoin with good, they too command good, and they forbid from evil. And in the third place, in the first quarter, again, Allah repeats this discussion. Allah repeats the same topic. And this verse is very, very familiar to us, very common on our tongues. And therefore, some of us, unfortunately, we don't really appreciate this verse as it is ought to be appreciated. We don't realize the value of this verse. This is one of the only verses, one of the only ayat in the entire Quran, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly praises you and I. Allah praises the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Allah addresses the entire ummah at large, saying that you are the best of ummah. You are the best of nations to live in this world. Imagine if a principal of a school or a rector of a university has to call or gather all the students and then has to pick one pupil or one student. And then in front of everyone he says, this is my favorite pupil, my favorite student. How fortunate that student will be. How proud he will be. Likewise, amidst thousands of ummats of the past, amidst thousands of nations, Allah specifically praises this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Under the commentary of this verse, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, أَنْتُمْ خَيْرُهَا وَأَكْرَمُهَا عَلَى اللَّهِ. That this ummah is the most noble and honored in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنْتُمْ خَيْرُهَا وَأَكْرَمُهَا عَلَى اللَّهِ. نَحْنُ الْآخِرُونَ السَّابِقُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Nabi alayhi wa sallam says that this ummah is the last ummah to come in this world, yet the very first ummah to enter Jannat. Because Jannat is haram upon every single ummah and nation of the past, until or unless this Mubarak ummah, this auspicious nation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does not enter Jannah. This is the honor this ummah enjoys in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such honor, such respect, such dignity. This ummah enjoys such a great position and rank, or such a great status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains in a hadith, on the day of Qiyamah, Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, a very great prophet and Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his ummah will follow him. They will come behind him. And then his ummah will tell Allah, "Oh Allah, this Nabi you have sent to us, and this Prophet, he has not conveyed the message to us. Wal'iyadu billah. He has not propagated the message to us." So Allah will ask Nuh, "Oh Nuh, where are your witnesses? Who will testify for you? Who will testify on your behalf that you have propagated the message correctly?" So Nabi Nuh alayhi salam will look and then he will say, "Oh Allah, my witnesses are the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam." Allah will call us. We will be summoned in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to testify on behalf of such a great Nabi. And you and I will be the witnesses on behalf of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam. Then we will be asked that you lived in a different time, in a different zamana, in a total different era. How can you testify on behalf of another Nabi who you've not even really seen him? So we will respond and say, "Oh Allah, you have revealed this Quran upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when you have mentioned very clearly that Nabi Nuh alayhi salam had propagated the message and he continued inviting his people towards Islam and towards Iman for approximately 950 years. So we will be the witnesses on behalf of Nabi Nuh alayhi salam on the day of Qiyamah." This is the position, the rank, the status this ummah enjoys in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salam says, "Hadi ummatun marhumah." This is an ummah of mercy, an ummah of rahmat. Allah's special mercy envelopes the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Just by means of example, take the aspect of our fast, our roza, and look how Allah favored us. Compare our fast, our roza, to the fast of the people of the past, to the roza of the people of the past. The initial law and hukam and order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to fasting was that a person's fast will begin from Maghrib and end at Maghrib. The entire day a person would fast. The entire day and entire night. This was the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person was only allowed to partake of iftar, whereby he breaks his fast, and as soon as he goes to sleep and his eyes closes, his next day's fast would commence for him. The next day's roza would commence and begin. This was the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Until one Sahabi by the name of Qais bin Sirmah radiallahu anhu arda. A normal laborer toiling in the farms of Medina Munawwara. The entire day he would work very hard harvesting the crops of Medina Munawwara. One night he returns home quite late, extremely exhausted, hungry, tired. And then he inquired from his wife, Hal min ta'am? Tell me, is the iftar ready? Is the food prepared? فَقَالَتْ لَا She replied in the negative. She says, "No, wait for a little while." So this sahabi decides to rest for a little while, whilst waiting for the food and iftar to be prepared. Whilst waiting for this iftar and this food to be prepared, the eyes of the sahabi closes. He falls off to sleep. And his wife sees him in this condition. "Oh Qais, what have you done?" He wakes up in a shocked condition. "What have I done?" She tells him, "You have fallen off to sleep. Hence your next day's fast, your next day's roza has begun for you." So this sahabi continues in this manner. No iftar, no sehri, no snacks after tarawih. The entire day and night goes by. Extremely hungry. Until the next day's zuhar time comes. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees him in this pitiable condition. "Ma bika ya Qais, ma bika ya Qais. Oh Qais, what has happened to you?" He says, "Ya Rasulullah, last night I returned home very late. Whilst waiting for the iftar and the food to be prepared, I dozed off. My eyes closed and I fell off to sleep. And therefore could not partake of iftar." When this incident took place, Allah revealed the following verses. "Kulu washrabu hatta يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْتُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْتِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ Allah addresses you and I. O Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen very clearly. Allah has made our fast so easy for you and I. Allah has made our fast so easy. Allah says, eat and drink from iftar right until sahri. Right until subh sadiq. The entire night you can continue eating and drinking. This is a concession for you and I. So this ummah is a ummah of mercy. A very special ummah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah mentions why this ummah enjoys such a great position and status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Because this ummah is burdened with the great task of enjoining with good and forbidding people from evil, which is termed as أَمَرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and نَهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, which is a very great command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in a hadith it is mentioned that when we fail to fulfill this task of Amr bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar, when we fail in fulfilling this duty of commanding people with good, enjoining good and forbidding people from evil, then such conditions will come upon us. We will then turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will then cry and make dua before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but our du'as will never be accepted. Our du'as will never be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of us failing in fulfilling this great task and duty of enjoining with good and forbidding from evil. And of course, there's various levels and degrees of amr bil ma'roof and nahi anil munkar. In one hadith, Nabi alayhi salam mentions, man ra'a minkum munkaran falyughayyirhu biyadih. Who of you, whomsoever sees some evil taking place, he should then try to stop that evil by using his hand. فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ. If he's not in that position of authority, when he's able to stop that evil or that sin that is taking place by means of his hand, then at least he should mention a few words, or he should stop that evil with his tongue. فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ. Nabi alayhi salam says, if this person doesn't have the ability to do so, to stop that evil, or to stop a person from committing sin, or indulging in sin, by even speaking a few words, by means of his tongue, at least he should have this worry and concern in his heart. How can this person also refrain from this evil? How can this person also stop indulging in sin? And then Nabi alayhi salam explains, وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. That's the lowest level of iman, the lowest degree of iman, to have this worry and concern in our heart. So there's different degrees of Amr bil Ma'roof and Nahi al Munkar, which is a very great command and order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has been repeated 3 times in tonight's Taraweeh in the first quarter of the Fath Para. Thereafter, the second topic, Allah discusses towards the ending of tonight's Taraweeh in the third quarter, or towards the ending of the second quarter, Allah speaks about the Shuhada and the martyrs, those who have been martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, don't ever think that those who have been martyred in the path of Allah, don't think them to be dead. Do not equate them to the rest of the dead people. They are different. They have a special position and rank in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says they are alive and they are being sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are rejoicing over the bounties and the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that the hearts of the martyrs, the souls of the martyrs, are put or preserved in green birds that fly in Jannah, and they enjoy the different bounties and the different ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. And they are very, very happy. And they even request Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come back in this world and to inform us of the great rewards kept for a martyr, for one who is martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they wish to come back in this world and to inform us of the honor and the izzat and that royal treatment which Allah has kept in store for them in Jannah. But it is a decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once a person leaves this world, he'll never be able to return to this world. And therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveys their message. They had left this world, but Allah had echoed the message of these martyrs in the Quran Majeed, informing us of their great reward. Allah says, they wish to come back to you and to inform you of the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept for them in Jannah. And that Allah will never destroy the reward of the believers. Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Allah bestows with great rewards. And Nabi alayhi salam himself mentions, he says, I wish I was martyred and then I was given life again, and then again martyred and then given life again. And I wish this continued with me several times, because of the honor and the respect and the izzat Allah has kept in store for those who are martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, those who are martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately forgives all their sins. All their sins are forgiven, except for debts. Except for debts, with the exclusion of debts, every single sin of a martyr is forgiven. May Allah grant us shahadat in His path. May Allah join us with the shuhada and those who have been martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us a beautiful month of Ramadan. Accept our ibadat, accept our tarawih salah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك ونشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت ونستغفرك ونتوب إليك